Hello and welcome to The Cast of Us, a podcast dedicated to The Last of Us on HBO and brought to you by the Fan Critical Podcast Network. And it's a sad week this week, as in fact, this is our last deep dive of the season. As of course, we're talking about the season finale of The Last of Us, episode 9, titled Look for the Light. To wade through the tears with me this week, I'm joined by my regular survivors. First up, a man that I've seen snap on many occasions, and one whose rampaging warpath is not to be messed with. It's John.
Hello.
Very grumpy.
I am a monster.
Yes. A brutal, brutal monster man you are. Don't ever get in John's way. Okay?
Excuse me.
And of course... There you go, sir. And then to a man who myself and John have been escorting, carrying, keeping alive all this time. It's little Gareth, little meek Gareth.
Yeah, well, it's a good job you've managed it, because I'm here to correct your grammar. Myself and John. Doesn't make any sense, mate. So, yeah.
What would it be then instead?
It'd be John and I have escorted him.
Mm. Okay, all right. Well, there you go. That's why... one of us is some sort of teacher, that's Gareth, and the other one isn't. Anyway, sorry for my grammar.
But also, it is good grammar that will get you through the apocalypse, so...
Yes, that's right. Yes, yes.
Let's get practicing.
And I...
Right. you boys all right?
Yeah.
Keep on trucking? You trucking along?
Yeah, keep on trucking, innit?
Yeah.
Trucking and foot. No, not that as well.
Just doing another one of these. Yeah. Just doing another one of these, really.
More of these.
Well, this is one of the last ones because it's the fucking finale, isn't it? So.
It's The Last of Us.
It's the Last of Us. Of course, this is the end of the season. Me and Gareth, we've already given you our hot take thoughts, which you can listen to now. But you know who we haven't heard from? It's the grumpy one. It's John.
Miss N.
John.
Yep.
I'm fascinated, as I'm sure some listeners are, to hear what you think, as a Shonley and not a game player, of the finale of The Last of Us. Could you please let us know your thoughts and give it some delicious, delicious blueberries?
Before I score it, yay or nay, it's a question to you both. That's not the question.
I agree.
It'd just be like, well, yay.
Yay.
The length of the episode, does it hurt the episode?
Well, yay.
Yay.
Yeah, I think it does. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know what the choice was behind it. Like I feel like this could be a 5 blue episode with, I don't know, 15 more minutes or something, flesh out some of it. You know, it's a 4 bloob. I'll give it a 4 bloob. And I think the very best bits of this episode are probably better than some of the bits that happened in the 5 bloob episodes this season. But it's just, I don't know, like, to go out on the shortest episode of the season... it kind of didn't even feel like, it didn't feel like the last episode of the season. It felt like a bolt on, like an after credits thing. Like, it's just a bit weird, I thought. So I'll give it 4 bloobs. We'll talk about the old, the giraffe, because Len, I know you loved it. And I'm sure you've seen it a couple more times now.
Before you say this, the CGI wasn't that good, was it? Is that what you're going to say?
No, it's a real giraffe, Gareth.
Right.
It's a real giraffe.
The green screen.
So there's no...
I think it's the green screen ruins it. Like, the whole thing looks a bit weird.
You do get a bit of tearing, a bit of blurring with the movement.
It's when you work with giraffes, though, isn't it?
It's when you work with giraffes. But that's a technical thing. Talking about the time, the 43-minute thing... I don't understand it either. And I said this in a hot take. I don't get it. Now, I'll go next, Gareth, because I'm just rambling here. I'll talk about the time thing first. And it is bizarre that when you've got a character like Marlene, who we haven't seen since episode one, and although we do see in the cold open, which is fantastic, it's bizarre to me that they didn't use an extra 15 minutes to give more context to the Fireflies.
Mm.
Because you haven't seen the Fireflies for a very long time. And to be honest with you, we don't know much about the Fireflies. And it would have made sense to have a few more scenes in and around their base with Marlene, potentially, to flesh out them and their motivations and stuff. Because it's very difficult to, I think, if you're not a game player, I think you'll be a bit confused as to who the Fireflies are and what their actual motivations are. Now, the Fireflies are not a good guy group necessarily, and the production of this vaccine...
I am! Forgot about that one guy.
Shut up back there, all right? Yeah. The production of this vaccine actually is a very interesting idea, because if you think about it, and there's a lot of debate about this in the Last of Us community as well, the Fireflies would essentially become the de facto leaders of the world with the power of this vaccine, if it was created, which is still up for debate as to whether or not this vaccine would even work. You know,
Pfizer.
It's not like, yeah, it's not like it's a certainty. Yeah, what's the efficacy of this vaccine?
Get on Facebook 10%. And find out whether it works or not.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So to me, you know, they would have all the power if they created this vaccine. They would choose who lives, who dies. They would become de facto rulers, and they're not necessarily good guys. You know, we've seen what happens to groups that overthrow Fredra, like with Kansas City, and necessarily it doesn't always go the way that you think it does. So that's interesting. I do think they need more time, and I'm baffled as to why they didn't have more time. Now, my score, okay, this is difficult. It's very difficult. Because the story means a lot to me. And I said this in a hot take.
I'll just score it as an episode. Fuck's
give
sake.
It four boobs it deserves.
Fucking hell. He's such a coward. I was listening to the hot take earlier. And because I've got to say. And you were like, no, because it is a great episode. Like, you knew that you were going to give it four episodes. No, but it's fine.
Four episodes? Can I give it four episodes?
Fucking hell, I'm all over the place. Sorry, I scoffed my dinner before this, and it's obviously gone to my head. Yeah, so it's like, you know, just give it four bloobs. It, like, no one's going to go, oh, Len didn't give it five bloobs, that's it. I'm going to complain. And if they do, fuck them.
Hmm. Can you let me do my little story about the story, or are we just going to...
Just get on with it.
I'm going to tell you the score. Okay. Right. Now, if anyone didn't hear the hot take, I literally said, and Gareth laughed at this, and it's very fair, that I literally think about this character, these characters and the story every single week.
Oh, that's stupid, isn't it?
Weird thing to say.
It's so fucking true. I do think about this game all of the time. This game is a huge part of my life, and the story is a huge part of my life. I've been rambling on to you two about it before the show came out.
He called his son Ellie.
You would never think he has a kid with the way he talks. You think he's just a loner somewhere.
And you know his little daughter, Cordyceps, as well. She's
yeah, she grows on you.
Oh, very good. She's a fun guy.
Yeah, that was obvious, that one, Gareth. That was
Well,
you're saying that.
Anyway, give it four blues.
Do you remember, Gareth, when I first completed this game? Me and you were in our, and you've been there, John, the Streatham flat. It's this, like, it's like this top floor flat.
Shithole.
In Streatham, and it was a shithole.
It was all right.
And I still, it was all right, yeah. And I still remember, the reason I remember that flat is because it was the last place me and you lived together, Gaz. And then it was also completing fucking Last of Us.
Mm.
And I think they've done a very good job recreating that feeling that I had at the end of the game, right? And it is a very...
Do you reckon they were like, what we want to do here is really capture the feeling of living in a flat in Streatham.
In Streatham.
South East London, yeah. Southwest line. Right. Southwest.
Yeah, I think Southwest. They did a good job of recreating the ending. I love the performances. I love the nuance. I love the set design. The only thing is, it just didn't hit me as hard. Okay, and it's obviously because I knew it was coming and stuff like that. But I also think there's a bit of an issue.
You've got a nicer house now.
Yeah, that's true. I also think there's a bit of an issue. And it's because in the game, you are reluctantly doing these things. You are on a set path. You question what Joel is doing. But you still have to do it. You still have to kill all these fireflies.
Control him,
didn't you? Get to the of course, yeah. You get to the surgery room. And you're literally, it's a very fucking amazing video game moment because you're standing there. There is no way for you to get out of that room without killing the fucking surgeon and the nurses if you want to or whatever, right?
Just stay in here then.
You could just stay there.
PlayStation
I've
off.
Never actually done that. That'd be interesting. You could do that. And I think that's very hard to recreate in the show because we're just watching it, right? And it's got a bit of a different feeling to it. In saying that as well,
rambling.
I think Joel going full Rambo, talking about
Rambo.
Joel going full Rambo for that scene.
I'm Rambo. Let me explain where I've come from for 28 minutes. I'll just get on with it.
Him going full Rambo is at odds with the violence in the rest of the season. It doesn't make as much sense. Like him just being able to wipe out like 20, 30 guys.
Aren't we going
to
talk about this scene in a bit?
So for me, it just misses out on being, you know, excellent, like John said. It's a four bloob episode. I still think that some of the moments in there are still fucking amazing, and I'd love to know what people who only know the show think, because I think they would be as stunned as I was in that little flat in Streatham 10 years ago.
What am I doing here?
All right, Gareth.
Get out.
Yeah.
Imagine that, they're just transported to fucking Streatham.
I've not even seen the last episode. What? Why have you broken in and ruined this fucking show for me?
Get off my PlayStation 3.
Because you're playing it and you're controlling him, but he just does what he wants. What are you talking about? Anyway, go on then, Gaz. Give it five bloobs.
I'll keep it short. I think I've given every episode, apart from one, five blueberries, and I stand by it. I thought every one of those episodes deserved it in isolation. But what I did say at the time was, because obviously, you know, John criticising a lot, saying, yeah, but they're squeezing the time out at the end. Like, that this is using up valuable time. And I said, I'll judge the final episode on its own merits as well. And if that is where this time issue comes home to roost, then that's where it will come out in the wash, in the scores. And it does. And it's my second four blueberry episode. And I think I agree with pretty much everything you said, John, in terms of it, like, as an episode, for that 45 minutes, it was excellent. I think everything that we saw, everything that happened was really effective. I really enjoyed watching it. But then, yeah, did it have quite the impact that the game had in our little flat in Streatham, as you say, Len? Probably not. And I think that is a symptom of the fact that they've kind of messed up the running times of a lot of these episodes. So again, I absolutely stand by my five blueberries for episodes that maybe seemed like they were taking away time from this one. But that does affect the finale, which, again, it was a great, in fact, episode of television. It wasn't phenomenal because it was missing something. And yeah, an extra 10 minutes probably would have helped that. Either Fireflies or a little bit of Infected might have been handy at some point. But I still loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it is worth noting just quickly that this chapter is the shortest chapter of the game. And the chapters do get progressively shorter. It's weird. It's like the front half of the game is split into seasons. The first two seasons are like 10 hours of gameplay, and the last two seasons are like 4 hours of gameplay combined. So it is short, and I get what they're doing, but they've told us perspectives, you know, from other groups. Like, we got more of David's community, we got fucking loads of Kathleen's community. So we're seeing these other sections of society that you don't get from the game because you're in Joel's and Ellie's perspective. And of course, in a TV show, you've got more scope. You can show different perspectives. It feels bizarre they didn't give another 15 minutes to the Fireflies. You know, we even saw more fucking Fedra in the Left Behind episode. You see Captain Kwan, and he's like telling Ellie this stuff and giving him a more human side to the Fedra. And it would have been interesting just to see a touch more of the Fireflies. And I don't understand why they didn't do that. You know, especially when you've got Marlene there. She's a fantastic actress and she's very compelling. Same actress from the game. And I think there could have been a bit more scope there. That's the only reason it gets a 4 in my mind. And I'm sure, as you guys have just said, it's similar reasons. So a few things to get into before, you know, we dive into the scene by scene. Just to say that if you are enjoying this podcast and you've listened to us throughout the season and you've not been listening on our main channel, Fan Critical, could you please search that or go in the show notes? There's a link to it right there. Click it and subscribe to Fan Critical because we've got loads of other episodes on there. You can go back in time to over 300 episodes reviewing, obviously, as I'm sure if you like this show, like Last of Us, there's stuff on there that you like Game of Thrones, Westworld, which was an absolute shambles by the end, Stranger Things, loads of stuff, all Marvel movies, Mandalorian, Severance. We've got reviews for loads of shit on there. So go check it out. That's Fan Critical on any podcast app, platform, Spotify, or on the link in the show notes. Now, of course, you can also sponsor us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/fancritical. We've had lots of patrons join us this season. Thank you so much for your support. It is amazing. That's patreon.com/fancritical. Now, there'll be a little musical interlude. And when we come back, scene by scene breakdown of episode 9, Look for the Light.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, boys, we open this finale with a heavily pregnant woman running through the woods. She's being chased by the infected and she makes her way to a farmhouse. She bolts the doors and barricades herself in as her water breaks. Unfortunately, though, an infected breaks through and Anna has to kill it. She then notices the baby has popped out, but not before she was bitten on the leg. She cuts the umbilical cord and cradles little Ellie.
Right. Dear. How have you made that funny?
It's a skill.
Well, baby popped out.
Well, it does.
I know. I mean, it's...
We've all been there. We've all been through the birthing procedure as support people, obviously not.
So, you know, it didn't just pop out. You're about to make yourself extremely unpopular, Len.
I know it didn't just pop out.
What's wrong with you? Hurry up. We'll go cinema. Go watch Avatar for the fourth time. yes. Really good, actually, this scene. Very sad. Very sad. I know Gaz was talking about this on the hot take, but it's emotional as a parent, you know, like when babies are at that, you know, when they just pop out like that, that's when they're at their most vulnerable. So it's very, very sad. I recently watched, Len, you'll enjoy this,
please,
your mass public horror choice. A Quiet Place. And again, yeah, brilliant. Five bloobs, actually. So
yeah, nice. Is that the first time you've seen it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. It is great, yeah. Well done. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And again, like that, I don't want to spoil that film, but there maybe a baby pops out in that as well. Yeah, maybe.
In very stressful circumstances. Yes. Yeah.
And again, it's that vulnerability, you know, in a world full of monsters. Very sad. Very sad.
Yes, it is very sad. And I'm always on edge whenever there's a little baby on screen like that, and especially now, obviously, as a parent. A couple of things to dive into here. Anyone who didn't hear the hot take and doesn't know this information, Anna, Ellie's mum, is actually played by Ellie from the games, Ashley Johnson. So Ashley Johnson is the actress from the games. Her voice is so recognisable as Ellie if you've played through the games. So in a way, she is, you know, giving birth to herself. Yeah. You know, Ellie is giving birth to Ellie. And the showrunners have talked about that, and it's very interesting. They wanted to pass on that sort of genetic DNA of that character. And Ashley Johnson is so synonymous with Last of Us. I think it is just amazing to see her.
I'll say again, as a seven hot take, she looks like Bella Ramsey.
Yeah, she does. She does.
They lucked out there, to be fair. Because, imagine if she just looked nothing like her. What would they do? But I'll just put this.
And she's fucking brilliant in this scene and the next scene, which we're going to talk about. The bite on her leg, according to information we know, gives her in the region of 12 to 24 hours until she turns. That is according to the law that Google. Was been set up in this world. Google and that.
I'll tell you another emotional punch with this scene. And the quality of acting as well is the way that, like, obviously she's just meeting her daughter for the first time, and that she knows that she won't.
She's never going
to
see
she's
her.
She's never going to be able to look after her.
That's horrible, isn't it?
So it's heartbreaking.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah, and of course this does tell us how Ellie is immune. Which is a controversial thing, I suppose, because in the game you just don't know.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they've given us this extra information here. And it kind of, in a way, it kind of makes Joel's decision worse at the end. It's interesting because you actually know that Ellie is very, it's not just luck. There is an actual set of circumstances that has made her this savior of humanity.
I mean, it's still luck, but I guess you mean like it's definitely not a luck, thing that will just happen. Just random.
Yes. So I mean, like, another human isn't going to be born where this just happened. This like set of circumstances has to happen the exact same way, and then you have to hope that it just. You know what I mean?
I think
it's
reverse engineering.
Mentioned on the hot take, like, I quite liked it, but I can imagine that people won't. I wondered if have you had a look? Like, has there been any reaction online to it?
Yeah, so far it's okay. It's positive. I would say is what interesting. I will watch Reddit closely in the next few days. Maybe when we do a season wrap up, we'll
do something else,
it,
mate. Don't worry about it.
He's got CGI giraffes to look at for 10 minutes a day as well.
Okay, it is now nighttime, and we see a group with torches heading towards the farmhouse, looking like fireflies in the night. It's Marlene and the fireflies. Marlene is Hello. Anna's best friend, and she is instructed to take Ellie, look after her, and then kill Anna. She reluctantly accepts. This is interesting. Marlene looking after Ellie all this time, something that we know she did. Now we know why she did it. And maybe always knowing that she might be immune.
Yeah.
And that is very interesting because Marlene discovers Riley dead and Ellie in the mall. And she doesn't shoot Ellie, even though Ellie's been infected, which is like, I've always been like, why? Why didn't she do that? And then now it's because maybe there's this glimmer of hope that she's immune. It's quite an interesting little narrative beat.
Then what you also have is this like philosophical dilemma where she's essentially raised Ellie, protected her, raised her like cattle to be slaughtered. And, you know, I don't want to do brutal spoilers for Harry Potter, but there is a bit of a parallel there. I won't go into detail.
Oh, I was on Half-Blood Prince Part 2, for fuck's sake. You're telling me what?
Just in case anyone hasn't heard of...
Just tell me Dobby lives. Harry Potter. Just tell me he lives. Fuck's...
We'll talk later, okay? But it's a question, is this all right? Is it all right?
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, yeah, it's all right. Now, I tell you what's interesting. She puts Ellie into Fedra as an orphan because it's the safest place for her to grow up. I think that's very smart. And she sort of watches her from afar. I don't think she ever has the intention of...
Who's that looking at you on that hill?
Get down! I don't think she ever has the intention of necessarily knowing if she's immune or not. But it must be playing on her mind. Surely there must be something there, you know?
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway, it was good. Great scene. Brutal. Ashley Johnson, fucking fantastic. Marlene, the actress playing Marlene, is the same from the game. We've talked about this in Clicker Corner. And she's also fucking brilliant. I love this opening. And then we smash cut to Ellie in present day, a bit out of sorts, not really listening or engaging with Joel as they approach Salt Lake City, where they believe the Firefly camp is now situated. Bit of a role reversal here, lads. 100%. Remember back to episode 3, Ellie's like just fucking chewing Joel's ear off about everything.
GBH
and now it's the other way around. Yeah, and that's the other way around. Joel's like, oh, I found this. I found Boggle. What's up? Do you want to learn to play guitar? Hey, what about this thing? Hmm. And Ellie's like, you know,
Boggle. This film called... stop talking about them. I've never been to the cinema. I went once and I had to
leave. Dawn of the Wolf, part 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop going on, yeah. Joel, honestly. I've had out to here with you. Imagine that.
Yeah. That's what it's a bit like, though. She's just out of sorts completely. And the only thing that gets her out of it is, of course, we have one of the most iconic scenes in any video game. And it is, as Joel and Ellie are navigating through a building, Ellie runs off. As she sees something, Joel follows until they encounter a giraffe.
So fucking hell, look at this weird-looking horse.
They then see the beauty of nature as a whole flock. Is it a flock of giraffes?
Herd?
A whole flock of giraffes.
I think it's a herd,
wandering around.
Isn't it?
Herd. Herd of giraffes, yes.
Flocks are
bird related.
I think I agree, but I do think flock is used in non-aviation type animals as well. So
I think that is
a
true.
Flock of sheep, Gareth.
Type animals.
Gareth.
You're not making up for myself earlier. That's doesn't
a flock of sheep. Perfect example.
A gaggle of sheep. No.
A parade.
A school of
I
sheep.
I think it's a parade of giraffes. That feels legit.
Oh, that does feel good. Yeah, that sounds good.
I'm going to go.
All right then, John.
I'm going to drop a mental otherwise. Group of giraffes hanging out at the pub. What do you call them?
That's not a giraffe.
It's called...
It reminds me of a joke while John's doing it. I'll tell you a joke.
Herd.
Guy
it
goes,
is a herd.
Guy goes, it is a herd.
Oh, all right. Yep. Herd.
Guy goes into a pub with his pet giraffe and goes and lies down by the fire. And the guy goes to order a beer. And the barman says,
it's too
hey, mate,
long,
you can't...
this joke.
You can't leave that. You can't leave that line in here. And he goes, "Huh? It's not a line. It's a giraffe."
Oh, that's good. I was convinced you were going to tell that joke that lasts about 20 minutes and just doesn't even have a punchline.
yeah, save that for after the pod.
John, go on. Then you had an issue with this scene.
Just looks weird,
I'm
doesn't
fascinated
it?
Fascinated to hear it.
Just looks weird. Yeah. Like
okay.
The fact that the background is fake, so it makes everything look fake. I'm even like, are they leaves? Like the like, is that real? Like, it's just too.
Imagine that.
Yeah. No, imagine no. The background is real. The giraffes were real.
Should we hold the leaves? Should we hold these leaves? What leaves?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I know this is a famous scene from. I was about to say the book then. From the game.
There's a book.
But I don't know, it just didn't land with me, to be honest. I was just a bit like, okay.
Why don't you take a leaf out of my book, mate? Take a leaf out of my book.
Nah, wind your neck
and,
in.
No. Nah, look, I will say, I've studied this scene because I'm a bit of a stickler for special effects. And you know, if they go wrong, I get very annoyed. Like, I criticised House of the Dragon for some of its shitty, shitty effects, which blows my mind because they've got so much fucking money. Mm. None of it should look bad, ever. They've got more money than this show, House of the Dragon. I will say that I did notice the green screen on second viewing a lot more when I literally studied it. I will stand by point that the giraffe looks real. I think they got a giraffe in a green screen room. And I think...
It's the guy in a suit, isn't
it? The oversight...
Well, a few guys, obviously. Big neck.
It'd be at least four guys, I reckon.
Yeah.
It'd be about 20 Gareths in that giraffe suit.
A gaggle of guys.
A gaggle of Gareths. Yeah. But I will say, yeah, the background is a bit oversaturated. You can see in the wide shot, it looks a bit silly. But we're the only ones who are going to fucking notice that. Most general viewers aren't going to see that. So
is it everything you hoped for, Ellie? That's a bit saturated, isn't it, from here, to be honest?
Could do some real leaves.
Maybe the scene would work better if I held some real leaves. Wait, no, shut
hold
up,
on.
Just, they're going to be
I
there.
Forgot, surely our favourite line in the whole series happens at this point, when Ellie says, it's had its up and downs.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I did notice that. Mm. Back to the escalator. it has actually got one of the best... look, let's talk about what the scene means. What do you think the scene means? Because that
giraffe,
is interesting. That is,
giraffe, yeah.
That is at,
definitely.
That is at the heart of what this... To ignore what the green screen's doing and just what do you think this moment
just
means
putting,
to
isn't
these
it?
Characters?
Like, what do you think this means? I'm like, why does that look so weird at the back there? What does it mean? It means they don't have as much budget as House of the Dragon. That's the message, isn't it? That's what they were sending out. They were like, imagine. Look, we need more money for season two. So let's pick this scene and oversaturate the background so that we get more cash for us.
It's like when a manager just picks his under 18s to play just to prove a point that he hasn't been able to spend enough
in football.
Money.
That does happen. Yeah.
Soccer.
It means what John was saying about giraffes, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's open to interpretation, obviously, but like,
is it?
It's such a moment of like peacefulness amongst all the violence and everything. Mm. And it's to show, I guess, that there's still innocence in the world and Ellie's innocence
and the giraffes,
is still
aren't
there. Yeah. Yeah.
Saw an innocent earlier.
It's
what?
A gaggle of innocents.
But no, like Ellie, you know, you think about what she's just done. She's bludgeoned David to death.
Yeah,
you
good.
Think about that scene of her literally just bludgeoning his head in.
Yeah.
And then you have this moment where she's completely zoned out and then this brings her back and Joel sees that. And it's just a lovely moment between them. We then obviously have...
Oh, she's hit the giraffe.
The line.
No.
We have the line where Joel's like, imagine that, she starts bludgeoning the fucking giraffe. Fucking hell. We then have a line where Joel's like, look, we don't have to fucking do this. You know, we can just go to Tommy's, forget this whole thing happened. And Bella Ramsey's delivery of this iconic line, you know, after everything that I've done, it can't be for nothing. Loved it. Fucking loved it. Bella Ramsey's fantastic in this episode. I know she's asleep for the final for much of it, but some of it is fucking amazing.
Definitely, yeah, her performance is definitely better in the first half of this episode, yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit catatonic in the second half until the ending.
Lazy.
Oh, dear. Anyway, they then wandered towards the hospital with an evacuated triage centre. Joel confesses he tried to kill himself the day after Sarah died, but he fucked it up. He then says time isn't what fixed him, but Ellie is.
Well, it doesn't say the last bit.
Yeah, it's open to interpretation, yeah?
Well, it's not, is it? It's fucking giraffes obvious, isn't it? It's, come on.
Yeah.
Giraffes are what done it.
What do you think this scene means, guys?
Did that happen in the game?
No. And we'll talk about it more in Click a Corner, but this is another fascinating bit of information that we're like, what the fuck? Joel tried to kill himself?
Mm.
And it's not unbelievable because he is obviously distraught after his daughter fucking dies and it's awful. And he's just wandered around as a ghost for like 20 years, a murdering, brutal ghost who just, as you see later in this episode, is capable of terrible, terrible
ghostly things.
So to humanize him in this way and give him, the fact
that he
just
said he was a murdering ghost.
Well, he's a human,
All right,
very
fascinating
character is Joel, obviously. Great character. So I really liked this extra bit of information. And
it's a good scene.
The moment between Ellie and Joel here is lovely. And of course, it's short-lived because then they're reading more hilarious puns and are flashbanged by some fireflies. Yeah, so...
Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, he's snappy. You read that one out before, haven't you? Why? So, I mean, they've got the drop on them, haven't they?
Yep.
Fireflies. Like, they're creeping up behind them. It's a little girl and a guy. Why are they flashbanging them? What a waste that is.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah, there can't be many of those grenades lying around.
Mm.
It's not a lion, it's a giraffe.
This is different in the game, and we'll talk about it in Click a Corner. And I think there's reasons why they didn't do it, and this is the far cheaper option. Mm. This is the option that saves you $1 million. So this is probably why they did it this way.
Just hit him on the back of the head. Don't even use a flashbang.
Well, it does in a way. We'll talk about it in Click a Corner because it's interesting. The difference there. Joel then wakes up in hospital under guard with Marlene. She says that Ellie is being prepped for surgery that will kill her, as they believe they can collect the cordyceps growing in her brain to create a vaccine and save humanity. Joel says she can't do this before Marlene orders her men to march him outside, and if he tries anything, kill him.
Yeah. This guy that's marching him out. Oh my word. Could he try harder to be killable?
Did I say to stop? Yeah. I didn't hear anyone say stop.
What are you talking about? Just give him a little nudge.
Let's rewind a little bit to the scene between Marlene and Joel. Fucking loved it.
Quick again, though, innit? Do you not think?
It is quick.
He's literally just got up. Imagine having a conversation like that after you've just got up. Like, you'd be like, oh, can I have a glass of water or something?
Yeah, give me a cup of jelly.
He's concussed.
Please.
Yeah.
He's concussed as well.
Yeah. Right, come on, march that guy out. I know he's definitely going to try something, but let's just march him out. You incompetent, and you who's not allowed to say any lines. March him out.
I've always thought...
tie him up. Tie him up until it ends, and then go, right, now fuck him off.
Yeah, I've always thought it's interesting that Marlene doesn't just kill Joel. Now, there's a lot of debate as to why this is.
She loves him.
Because she understands what he's been through, the connection that he's made with Ellie, because she has that connection to Ellie as well. There's a lot of like, he's the only person who can understand the weight of the decision that I'm making. Marlene is like, she's sacrificing her best friend's wishes here.
She doesn't seem that bothered.
Killing her daughter. Well, she does. She's crying. There's tears rolling down her fucking eyes.
Oh, come on, Kinnell. Seeing people cry not getting into clubs, mate. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, does it? For fuck's sake, like, come on. Like, yeah, they
really
definitely could have.
To a big night out.
Yeah, go on, you and your herd, fuck off. You'd never get him in anyway. Look at the size of the guy. See, this is where they could have like an extra, you know, 5 minutes of them having a conversation. Like, and yep. as someone that hasn't played the games, like, if you're just watching this, there's no real drama. Like, you know, she's not going to convince Joel, like, but they could have fleshed the acting chops here. I didn't get it that she was that gutted. It's like, well, we just got to get on with it, innit? Just get on with it. It's like, well,
that's why I wanted to see more of Marlene.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to see more of Marlene. Now, look, this is for another day, but we will see definitely some scenes with her in season two, I'm sure of it. I'm not saying I wanted to see those scenes here. I just wanted to see more of her. Maybe even more, a scene with her and Ellie would have been interesting, you know, to get that sort of paternal link that she's, you know, that you said you didn't buy that she cares, John. So that would have been interesting. But it's, you know, you've got the two sort of sides of the coin here with Joel and Marlene, and Marlene like sacrificing her humanity to save humanity, and Joel sacrificing humanity to save his humanity. So it's quite interesting because it's a selfish decision what he does next. I mean, whichever fucking way you look at it. Joel, after being escorted by these two absolute dweebs outside the hospital, absolutely decimates them.
Mm.
He then goes into a bit of a trance, a bit Rambo-like, killing every single Firefly in the building before getting to the surgery theatre. I'm going to put the music in here because the music is actually the music that's played in the game when you pick Ellie up and you're running to the elevator, escaping the guards. I fucking love it. The string arrangement of the theme. It's beautiful. But it's tragic. And when it's played over this section of him shooting all of these people, it's obviously to say that this is, he's doing something incredibly evil. He is, you know, doing this terrible, terrible act. John, where do you fall down on Joel's decision here? And also, what are your thoughts on the increase in violence when we've talked about violence being at a premium this season?
I think Joel probably could have gone, all right, give us 10 grand and I'll walk away. Could have made some money out of it, couldn't he? obviously he's right, isn't he? Just kill all of them. They're all fucking dweebs anyway. Like, I mean, and don't worry about humanity. It's fucked. It's dead. It's finitoed. You know?
That's an interesting point.
Isn't it?
It's an interesting
point. I'm talking about the real world. I'm not talking about this. The show.
Yeah, fair enough.
Look, him going on a rampage and killing everyone is a bit silly. Let's be honest. For a show that has kind of
made it realistic. Like, there's been several times this season where I'm thinking, like, when they crash in Kansas City, you know, usually there was like 10 assailants, but they stripped it back to like 2 and Brian. And you know, it made sense. I believe that Joel could take all these people down. These are trained soldiers and he's just dispatching them. That's my only issue with it. It's like, because in the game it makes perfect sense. You're fucking you've killed so many people.
Yeah,
you know, you've what I mean up. It's not an issue. You've leveled up. That's right.
The use of sound is great. I really like that.
Yeah. The music's fucking awesome.
But yeah, I mean, look, I'll let it go because I just wanted just get on with it. Just get this episode done, and then that's it. I'll do one more of these pods, and I'm free. So it was all right. It was all right.
Gaz, do you agree with Joel's decision?
Gaz loved it.
And what, the decision to kill everyone?
Yeah.
and save Ellie and doom humanity.
Well,
potentially.
I think, you know, you understand it. I think the kind of nuance with it comes a bit later in the conversation between Joel and Marlene, where it's like, on one hand, you can look at it as humanity, saving humanity versus saving one girl, and think about all of the kids that are going to die if we don't do this. But
it's not even a guarantee.
Well,
it's
got not
some guy stocking about. It's like, is he really a doctor, or did he used to work in a warehouse somewhere? And he had a little badge on.
Tune in for season two, John. That's all I'll say about that.
He had a little doctor badge on.
There's no guarantee. It's not like, definitely, if we do this, we're definitely going to get the cure. Imagine if he turned around and went, nah, fucked it. Sorry, get another kid. Like, it'd be fuming, wouldn't it?
Is it worth it? Maybe it is, but no. I mean, on a personal level, like, if that was up to me, I wouldn't sacrifice anybody that I care.
Fucking hell, find another way. Look at COVID. Yeah. We got there in the end.
Find someone
else. Yeah. Once I accepted it was just a cold, everyone was fine.
But also, right. So can we just accept? Can we start to learn to live with cordyceps? How about that?
Yes. Yeah. It's been long enough.
What I would say is, it's not up to any of them. It's up to Ellie. It's Ellie's choice.
Yes, and we will talk about that in a minute. At the operating theatre, he enters and orders them to unhook her. Inside, there is a doctor and several nurses. The doctor grabs a scalpel and Joel shoots him dead, orders the others to turn around as he carries Ellie down to the car park.
I won't let you take her.
This plays out like the game, but as I talked about before, in the game, you are literally just... You're kind of at that moment, you've just played through this section where you've murdered all these people. You don't necessarily agree with Joel's decision about what he's doing. You don't want to fucking kill these doctors and nurses, but you have to. And you sort of stand there for a little bit. You can stand there for like
just,
30
just
seconds.
Over the doc, just proper unloading constantly. Like, I don't want to do this, but I'm just going to keep shooting.
Oh, I don't want to do this. Standing over his corpse, just unloading some rounds into it. But it's an interesting thing, and if you haven't played the game, I implore you to play the game, because this is a very divisive moment as you play it, and has huge ramifications for season two. We're not going to talk about that in this podcast series because it's just too much. I don't want to spoil anything, but let's just say this moment right here is a catalyst for everything. So it's very interesting. There is a cameo in this room. Can't talk about it here. Also have to talk about it in Clicker Corner because it's quite spoilery. And Joel carrying Ellie is a great mirror of the first episode with Sarah, right, guys?
Mm.
You reckon?
Yep.
The way he's carrying her to safety.
Yes, yes.
Very deliberate.
Yep.
Very deliberate, yeah.
It'd be weird if he carried her in a different way. If he was just like, dragging her out by the foot because she was a bit knackered.
Fireman's lift. Yeah, a little fireman's lift. That'd be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Why are you balancing on your head? It's weird.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why are you giving her a piggyback?
Just put you on the giraffe that's been with me the whole time.
Get on, Nibbles.
We stop by the gift shop on the way down to the car park, pick up a giraffe toy and go, look, it's like that thing we saw earlier. Anyway, in the car park, as he's getting in the car with Ellie, Marlene confronts him at gunpoint. She says it's not too late. He can still leave and Ellie can save the world. We then cut to Joel in the car, looking sad. He then hears Ellie wake up, and we see through a flashback, he actually shoots Marlene and then shoots her again in the head, saying that they'll only just follow them. Mm. He then lies to Ellie, saying she's not that special after all.
You're not even special.
I love the way they kept the editing, like the game here. Because it's fucking fantastic. I love it. I love the way this is constructed with Marlene's final plea. Then you cut to the car and you're like, oh, for that split second, you're like, oh. And then he goes back and you see what he's done. And fucking hell, it is brutal. It is so fucking cold and brutal that, oh, man.
Oh, I mean, if and it'd be worse to leave her to bleed out. It's a mercy cure, wasn't
it? I agree.
If he was laughing when he did it, that would be a bit mad. I'd be like, God, why are they...
You'll just come after us.
Yeah. Or he said one of the puns or something.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, just kill me. I don't want to know.
Yeah. Imagine that, signs off with a pun. Mm. Do you reckon that should be Ellie's like signature move? She signs before she kills anyone, she just signs off with a pun.
Yeah, why not? Interesting. It'd be good.
Why not? Now, this is the moment where I will say that, and we've talked about this in the preview podcast, that Joel is such a fascinating character. He's essentially the villain of the game. And you've played this character for the whole time, and you know we've watched him, and you've seen now the thing that he is truly capable of doing for love. And we talked about this in the hot take, that love is the story, you know, and they've talked about how love, the showrunners have talked about how love is this amazing thing, but it's also a horrible thing if used incorrectly. And this is that perfect fucking instance where
you've used love incorrectly, mate. This is a public.
But no, seriously, like you think about it, like Joel's love for Ellie.
But you know, if it's a tube that other people use, it's just not. Do you mean you just can't? It's not allowed.
What do you think about Joel being the villain?
Is the villain, if you prescribe to a particular philosophical standpoint, like,
yeah,
I don't know, is it ever villainous to defend the people you love by whatever means necessary?
Yes, it is. Well, yes, it is.
Maybe, but I think every person has their own world that they care about.
I agree.
And
with that as well,
Joel's not. I mean, maybe he is. I was going to say he's not looking for like personal gain here. It's to save somebody's who he cares about. It's to save their life. And
it's to save him fucking self.
Yes.
He makes his decision to save himself. Remove Ellie from the situation. He is doing this because he can't lose another kid again. Right?
Mm.
Now, Joel is one of my favorite characters ever. And he does the thing that characters like Jamie in Game of Thrones do for me.
Oh, he didn't do that, did he?
What?
Well, didn't even have a sister.
Jamie's the opposite. He tries to kill a kid to fucking... But anyway, yeah. We'll move on to that another time. Mm. But these morally grey characters are why I love stories. Like, it's just you root for them and then you're appalled by some decisions they make and you still love them. And it's a fucking great philosophical debate, and we can talk about it more in the season wrap up if you want.
Good people do bad things, but it doesn't make them bad people.
Correct.
I agree with that as well, John. I agree with that as well. I love Joel as a character, and I'd love having this conversation with people now. And now everyone can, you know, has seen the show and hasn't played the game, has experienced this story, and I hope they also are having very interesting.
He's been scaring people on the street. What do you think of Joel? And his grey character. Sorry, sir.
I've been doing that thing that like celebrities with their comedy shows do, where they walk around in the street.
Oh, the comedy shows.
Yeah, those comedy shows. Just asking people in the street shit, random shit. Anyway, we then see Joel and Ellie days later as they make their way back to Jackson. Joel talks about Sarah and how her and Ellie would have been great friends. Ellie is, however, conflicted, and as they overlook Jackson, she tells Joel about Riley, and then lists off all that they have been through and all the people that have died. She then makes him swear that what he said about the Fireflies was true. He pauses, then swears it is. Ellie stares at him and says, okay, as the season ends.
Yes, I mean, she knows it's bullshit, and he's a terrible liar, and he knows that she knows, basically.
I'm playing the track of music here. They've actually used it earlier this season, which I thought was a bizarre decision because this track is so synonymous with the end, but they've used it again at the end. I love it. I love the way this is edited as well. How it just pauses before she says okay. And we talked about this in the hot take, how, and I've talked about this in the preview podcast, in the spoiler section of the preview podcast, because I didn't want to spoil the ending for anyone who didn't know what's going to happen. The look that Ellie gives Joel in the game is fucking perfect. I don't know, there's so many fucking things going on in that girl's head at that moment in time that I was very worried that they'd be able to replicate that end shot.
Goes boss-eyed.
Imagine that. But fuck me, Bella Ramsey's acting here in this look is phenomenal. Because we talked about it in the hot take, Gaz, didn't we? How she's trying to portray conflict here. Like, she knows what Joel has done. But she has no other choice than to go along with this fiction that he's created. It's a fucking difficult thing to act.
Over-egging it a little bit, aren't we? Like,
no, there is no over-egging here, Joel.
It is a little bit, isn't it?
It's very good. It's very good. It's a very good
perfection.
Look.
Perfection.
Mm. All right. Whatever.
Yeah, eat your fucking pie and shut up, John.
Eat your pie.
Yeah. He scoffed down his dinner. Did you have pie?
No.
Out of interest?
What a guess.
What did you
beef
have?
Beef stew. So there you go.
Oh, so similar. It's something that goes in a pie, in a way. It's just the pie without the pastry.
I just love the like surprise that you didn't have pie. What else could he have had?
Well, he's British. That's all they fucking eat. Yeah. That's all we eat. They. Pies, apparently. They.
All
them.
Right, come on, let's get on with it. It's a terrible look. Get on with it.
Nah. But do you like the way it ended, John? Just that is the end of the season.
Yeah. I thought some of the talk before the questioning was a bit random. Like him talking about his daughter and stuff. Like we've crossed that bridge, haven't we? Like,
I think he's trying to distract her from the terrible thing that's happened.
Yeah.
Remember when we saw those giraffes?
The ultimate
that was mad, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is the ultimate way of making him seem more sympathetic again to her, talking about his dead daughter, the grief that he has been through, losing his daughter, makes... Because like you said, John, he knows that she knows what's happened.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, but he knows that she knows that he knows that she... Yeah.
So he's trying to soften it by saying, look, I've lost so much, I can't lose you as well.
That's not softening it, though, is it? Like, just go, I can't wait until we get back. I'll have a beer with my brother and we'll go to the cinema and we'll watch that wolf film.
True. Yeah, that Dawn of the Wolf part two. Yeah. You can finally watch it. Or Curtis and the Viper part two, you know?
Yeah, even
might
if he'd said,
to watch.
It, like, that would have been good, wouldn't it? Imagine if he'd have referenced that film that they were watching on the day that she died.
Would have been interesting.
Where he turned around and said, do you know what? I never got to see this all the way through. Fancy watching that later?
Well, John, there's a spoiler for season two in there, son. I can't, you know, so you just calm yourself down. Yeah. Wait till season two.
Good writing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be
not
in season two.
Not too on the nose. Don't you you know, I was talking about my dead daughter earlier. Yeah. Oh, God. How long's this hill?
Gaz, you like the ending, didn't
you?
Yeah,
I did. I really like the ending.
Not that bit.
I think all of Joel's chatter is like you say, it's to distract Ellie from thinking too much about anything.
Stop thinking.
What are you looking at me like that for?
It was the ending from the game, as you've banged on about constantly for the last 10 years, is iconic. And it's beautifully replicated here. Big fan. And that
Pedro's fantastic as well.
Yeah,
his acting.
It's all good. It's all good acting.
Unbelievable. I'll be interested to see if this now stays with everyone else that hasn't played the game. I do think this is one of those endings, like Inception, where it's not about what you believe happens, whether the piece topples down or stays up.
Hold on.
It's what...
Right, no, spoiler warnings for Inception spoilers. Here. People may not have seen it.
Yeah, but that, Jesus out of context, Christ. That means nothing for people who haven't seen Inception. I'm just saying that...
No, but if you... You're halfway through, you're going to be like, right, okay, now I know.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It's not about the fucking outcome. It's just about what it means.
Yes. You know what the characters choose to believe. Yes. And the reality yes. that they accept.
Exactly. And that is fucking fantastic. And it for me, stands up there as one of those great endings in cinema and media that you will think about for a long time. And I hope it does stay with you because it's very
I
powerful.
Think about it anyway, fortnightly, Inception ending.
There you go. So see, yeah. Gareth, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Some things just stay with you.
I don't you think know what else stays with us? Are comparable, to be honest, but, you know, that's you, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're grumpy and you've not had enough pie, so who gives a fuck? Anyway, you know what does stay with us? Click a corner and it's coming up next, baby. Hello, welcome to the last clicker corner of the season. I don't think there'll be one in the season wrap-up because...
Nah.
Pretty much done all these, haven't we?
Mm.
Let's get on with it. Ellie's mum, of course, we talked about, is played by Ashley Johnson.
What?
And whoa, who is Ellie in the games? And what is interesting is Ellie's mum doesn't feature in the games at all. And all the evidence you have of her existence is a note that you have in Ellie's backpack. And when you play as Ellie during the winter section, you can actually. And if anyone who hasn't played the game, you should do this. When you actually play as Ellie, you can look in her backpack at notes and important artifacts that she has in there. You can easily miss that. Like, there's no reason for you to do that. Like, you have to, like, delve into the menus to do it. And there's a note from her mother to her, from Anna. And it's very lovely to read. There's also the switchblade, which Anna, you know, instructs Marlene to give Ellie here. And that switchblade is obviously very important. It's Ellie's main weapon throughout both games. Guitar. Joel mentions there's a guitar in the RV. And Joel is actually a very nifty guitar player. Still sticking with it.
Guitar.
And he wants to teach her. And that is going to be a major, major plot point in season two. And if you thought music was good in this season, woo-hoo, just wait till season two, people. It's going to get even better.
Turns out the way to stop the infected is guitar sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, true. There's a moment where, before they see the giraffes, where Joel's like, oh, I'll just give you a boost up to get this ladder.
Yeah.
And that is literally probably the most overused mechanic in the game. The only mechanic that I'd say that's used more is ferrying Ellie around on a fucking pallet of wood over bodies of water because she can't swim. Yeah. And it baffles me that this season we didn't have one scene of that.
Mm.
Why? That just would have been such a nod.
Well, they did nod to it, didn't they, in episode one or two?
Yeah, they did, but they didn't do it anyway.
Well, she wasn't following Joel properly. She was kind of just like, just stuck. Going, oh, come on, what's going on?
Shuffling.
What are you doing?
Shuffling.
No, yeah. Don't go that way. Yeah.
Fucking AI, you can't trust him, can you?
Yeah.
unless it's ChatGPT, apparently. Anyway.
No, don't trust the... it.
Don't trust it, people. Infected, and Gareth, you had an issue with this. So before reaching the Fireflies in the game, you take on like a mini horde of infected, and Ellie is actually swept away in an overflowing river, and she obviously can't swim, which we just referenced. Joel rescues her, takes her to the banks of this, like, where the water's overflowing, and he's administering CPR when the Fireflies knock him out, and you don't know what's happened to Ellie. You know, she's fully unconscious and technically dead at that point. Now
is fine.
It's way more effective than the fucking flashbang, which is what John had an issue with. And obviously the scene I've just described would have cost them a lot of money. So I think they just sacked it off, to be honest with you, John.
Yes.
Sorry. But that sounds better to you, right?
Well, obviously. Yeah, sounds a lot better, doesn't it? They only had 43 minutes, though. So that would have been a bit weird.
That's right.
I'm surprised you weren't bothered by it, Len. I thought you would have...
Yeah, he doesn't care, does he?
...another mass-infected...
No, I really wanted that, but as I've talked about throughout the season...
Last of Us t-shirt and pants. Yay!
Hey, where's those infected? Why haven't I put those infected in?
Mel, more pie. Yeah.
More pie, please.
More pie for myself.
I am annoyed that they didn't do it, but I understand why they didn't do it. It's just not the way the show's gone with the infected, unfortunately. But maybe season two, there'll be more of them, which will be interesting. Giraffes.
But hold on. I mean, and it makes more sense for Joel to be nervous when he wakes up in the hospital. Like, if in the game he's doing CPR and then he gets knocked out, it's like, what the fuck?
That's
like,
right.
Is she dead or what? So
exactly. And there is that element to it for the player as well. You're like, what the... Where's Ellie? Like, you're worried, you know? So, yeah, that, you know... But I understand why they didn't do it. I reckon it would have been very, very hard to do well.
Couldn't be asked.
But we'll, you know, couldn't be asked. Hey, can you? We got to cut 10 minutes out of this episode. We've got to get down to 43 minutes. For fuck's
Pedro's
sake.
Like, I've got a Mando free. So come on,
yeah,
hurry this up.
That's right. Grogu's waiting for me in the so. Giraffes, like for like from the game. Apparently the CGI is the same according to John. And we actually see
according
stuffed
to both
giraffes.
Let's not make this a me thing.
According to John, we actually see stuffed giraffe toys throughout the season. There's actually they appear in three previous episodes, in the streets in episode two, and in the infected episode, you see a stuffed giraffe, a cutaway of it. It's also in the bedroom of where Ellie is in Jackson, where she finds the diary of the girl who lived before, and they have that huge falling out. So you see these stuffed giraffe toys as signposts throughout the show, which I thought was quite cool. There was a secret cameo in the surgery room, the operating theatre, and that was Laura Bailey. And she's one of the nurses. She's, you know, covered up. She's playing one of the nurses here in the show. However, she actually plays a huge character in season two, Abby.
Gigantor.
And,
Abby, right, okay.
Yeah, and she won't be playing her next season, of course. I'm actually fascinated to know who they will cast as Abby. But it is a nice cameo here. And Laura Bailey was fucking phenomenal in Last of Us Part 2.
I thought you were going to say in the scene. Didn't do a lot.
No, in Last of Us Part 2.
That'd be so lame, wouldn't it? Wonderful.
The way that she unhooked
five boobs.
Change that shirt, Len.
And finally, let's just talk about the ending.
Your shirt.
Yeah,
it's a gravy.
Let's talk about the ending. I'm happy that they didn't change the ending at all. And the thing about when you play the game is, when it finished, you didn't need part two. The game could have ended there. The universe of The Last of Us could have ended there. And in a way, it would have been extremely satisfying. It is one of the most satisfying endings ever. But they did make a part two. And people questioned before it came out, did it need to exist? And the resounding answer after it has been played is yes.
No.
Yes, it
is
did.
Maybe.
And I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait to see.
Is money.
One, I can't wait to see Gaz play it. And two, I can't wait to see everyone else's reaction to the events of part two. And that's it for Clicker Corner this season.
Should we try and cast moving on to Abby? What do you reckon? You got any shouts?
I actually don't have any shouts.
Good.
I think it's a very...
That's ended that segment of the show.
I'll tell you what, John. We'll talk about that in the season wrap-up. Because
other people have
fun.
Said.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I need to see who's been linked. Because I think they've probably cast already, to be honest. I don't know the rumours. Let's move on to listener feedback, our favourite section. I'm sorry that we didn't get all your feedback in this week because we did record very early. If you have sent us an email or you want to send us an email, you can do so at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. And if it hasn't been read out here, it will be read out in the season wrap-up in a few weeks' time. So still send us emails in, get your thoughts across on the season as a whole, what you think of that ending, if you've played the games, if you haven't played the games, if you like our critiques, if you don't like our critiques, etc. Now, feedback. Dante has written in and said, short one, but important. I don't feel you guys are being as critical as your name lends. There are massive problems with this show, and personally, I think they're rushing everything. Every character in the show is on for such a small amount of time. I'm confused to anyone how anyone gets attached to any character before they're dead and gone. I love what you guys do and the critical breakdowns of everything in a show. I feel that is slightly being missed on me in your Last of Us breakdowns, though. Thank heavens for John. Never thought I'd hear that sentence.
Dante, I think, has been a long time supporter of ours, so
correct,
you know, big fan, but I don't feel obligated to find fault in things if, as I'm watching it, I'm really enjoying the ride, and I totally understand that as a criticism. It's perfectly valid that certain things were rushed, and that is a reasonable thing to say. Doesn't have to be imparted on everybody. We don't all have to share that same view. And to be honest, I think in the end that did come home to roost. Like in that final episode, things were rushed, and I think it was a bit of a shame that it didn't end on a 5 blueberry episode for me, because I've loved this series. And I think, personally, we'll talk about this in the wrap-up, but this is the best video game adaptation ever. And,
Slim pickings there, mate.
Well, it is, but as a response to having a video game adaptation that has done, that's been so great, maybe there is a bit more enthusiasm towards it, but I'm not gonna be forced to change my views on it because we've got critical in our name. Like, that's not what that means.
I do think that, of course, we've been glowing in our reviews this season, and it has been hard for us to pick up on negatives, but I do think, like you said, it's come home to roost a bit in this episode. I have mentioned several times about the time and worried about this 43-minute runtime of the final episode. John's mentioned it as well. And yeah, it is a bit rushed. Do I think there could have been another episode in here? 100%. Why not give more time to these characters? Yes, it might have been a slower episode. Yes, it might have only got 3 or 4 blueberries. But it would have given more context to Joel's decision at the end of the season. And I have no issue with that. I also have no issue with showing more of the Fireflies. I had no issue if they wanted to show more of Fedra. I think there's some really interesting political situations that are going on in the world that they live in right now, these characters live in, that you could shine a light on more. And that is what they did with Kathleen. Maybe take some time away from fucking Kathleen and give it to some other interesting concepts.
Yes, but, you know, I got hammered for picking on her early on in...
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
We said to you...
By who?
The second episode. No, just Melanie Lynskey in general. It was not, like, I'm annoyed how high I've scored some of those episodes. They were not good.
No, but the Sam and Henry stuff deserved 5 blueberries because it was fucking brutality.
And I'll say that as well in response to that point that Dante made. For me, and maybe it didn't work for Dante, and that's fine, but that was one of the things I was blown away by in this series, is how well they make you care about characters that have only been on screen for an episode.
They did.
We made a point of that several times.
Yep, and some people have used that against the show now, after the full season, saying that was the formula for the show. And it is, in a way. But wow, what a skill to make me personally and some other people obviously feel connected to these characters in one episode. I think back to Bill and Frank, and I still think now, retrospectively looking at that episode, it's even better. You know, I look back at that episode and I think, wow, what a fantastic episode of television. One of the best I've ever seen. Well, thanks for the email, Dante. I hope we've been critical in this episode, which I think we have. Like, you know,
we're always critical.
John was critical. Right. We are. John was right. This episode has things in there that could be five bloobs. There are some of the best moments of the season. But why did they make it 43 minutes? Baffling. Anyway, Tanisha's also written in. Thanks for the email. And said, hope I'm not too late. That being said, I approached this series with no context. I started watching when I saw the notification that my favourite podcast was covering the series. HBO has you to thank me for watching.
Oh, so I was listening to a different podcast.
On to my thoughts. This was quite a fascinating series. I didn't approach this knowing what to expect, so each episode was very new for me. If I'm being honest, much of this was thought-provoking and interesting until the finale. I wasn't sure what the end goal was. Len, I think another two episodes to conclude the season would have been ideal. Last point, while I wasn't overly impressed with the show, it certainly had its moments. I mostly enjoyed following along with you three. If you weren't covering this, I wouldn't watch. After the finale, I wouldn't really care to watch a season two, although again, I may just watch to keep up with you three. Thanks for all your entertainment. Tanisha from Atlanta by the way of Los Angeles.
It's not getting glowing reviews, this show so far, is it?
Not in the feedback section.
Yeah.
But I will, it's nice that, you know, people are watching along for us. It's lovely, isn't it?
It is lovely. Thanks, Tanisha. Sorry that it hasn't
resonated with you.
Yeah, resonated in the same way it has for, well, me and Len. Len and I.
And John will give this season five bloobs in the end, in the season wrap. I'll tell you now, he scored like six episodes, five bloobs or something.
I don't think I have. There's been, what, 9 episodes I've given 6 5 bloobs? No way.
I think you've given five. Actually, five bloobs you've given.
Well, let's go back. The one thing I will...
Run it back.
Like, I'll happily say this now. And again, I had this conversation with Rich. There you go. Little shout out.
Hi, Rich.
When we were talking about this after like 5 or 6 episodes, and he's obviously, he also has Last of Us pajamas and stuff.
yeah, of course he does.
Yeah. Like Len, with biscuit and a bit of gravy.
Crumbs.
Yeah, crumbs and stuff all over it. And he was like, this is one of the best TV series I've ever seen. And I, like you, Len, I think there's a bias at play, which is what happened with me and The Watchmen. Because The Watchmen series was as better than I was hoping, I'd go back now and think, how could I not just give every single episode five bloobs? And I gave a lot of them five bloobs. And that series for me is still the best series for a long, long time. I would say The Watchmen is better than this, quite comfortably. But that's a personal opinion, right? So I think there's a bias at play here, that and it goes the other way, funnily enough. So some of the reviews that are hammering this this show, and I say reviews like I'm talking about. I'm not talking about critical reviews. I'm talking about people that give it like 1 out of 10 and things like that. It's because they have such a love for the game and they want it to be something that it's not quite in the show, which is a pathetic stance to take.
Agreed. Good points. And thank you, Tanisha. I'm glad that we kept you company during the season. I hope that we kept other people company this season as well. And I will say that do come back for season two. I think, you know, if they stick to the main plot points of season two, then you're in for a wild ride, a much more expansive story. This is quite a closed story of just you know, two people traveling through the apocalypse. And season two really opens things up and brings new characters in and a lot more drama. So do stick around for that. And of course, I'm glad and I'm very happy that we were able to be here with you through the apocalypse, Tanisha. Thank you for your email. Of course, we've got to wrap up now, but we are doing our season wrap up. It won't be out, you know, straight away. It'll be a few weeks at least while we digest more of our thoughts. So you've got plenty of time to write in. Do email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a note on one of our socials, and we'll try and read it out in the season wrap up with our
we can read
final blueberry score of the season. And that's it, boys. That's it. Last deep dive in the bank. Done. Just got to edit it now and get it out there to the big wide world. Beautiful stuff. Of course, as I said, sponsor us further on Patreon, patreon.com/fancritical. Subscribe to Fan Critical, our main channel, or, you know, any of the channels, really. But if you are listening on anything that isn't Fan Critical, do search it on any podcast app, platform, Spotify, and subscribe to Fan Critical for more delicious reviews on other things. Thank you to my fellow survivors, John and Gareth.
Cheers,
now,
mate.
Let's go attack the day, guys. And
sorry?
Yeah, endure and survive, basically.
Yeah. Will do.
You say attack the day.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I don't know. It's like, fucking bizarre. I'm a bit delirious. It's like very early in the morning here and I've had a Red Bull and I'm sort of shaking a bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, go and attack the day, listeners. Yeah.
Attack it.
Attack it.
Yeah.
Good.
Red Bull, everybody. Chris.